As many of you know, the Seawalk was damaged during one of our winter storms. The wind and snow caused much of the rock to give way and cover the ground, making it both unstable and uneven. I have a couple of friends that complained that even before the storm, the path was not level and they were not comfortable walking on it. It was not a level playing field for everyone. The phrase level playing field is a situation where no one has an advantage over other people. It is fairer and more balanced, giving an extra advantage or opportunity to those who would normally be at a disadvantage, or by attempting to take away or diminish advantages, perhaps, of one's adversary or competitor. And that's what Jesus is talking about in today's reading. He has just come down from the mountain from praying all night, and when the sun comes up, he calls his disciples to him, and he chooses 12 of them. This is Luke's version of events. He chooses 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. We're going to find this in, I think it's verse 12. And he called Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And I love this one only in Luke's gospel, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. We haven't even begun that one yet. He descends to a level place and begins to teach. Here's my thing. He hadn't even had breakfast yet. And yet people are gathering from all over the place to hear him and to be healed, the text says. The word was out, and many were coming as far away as Jerusalem, which is in the south, and Tyre and Sidon on the Mediterranean coast. So several days walking had brought Jews and Gentiles alike to listen to the Galilean carpenter. What I find is interesting is this was way before social media. So how did that word go out? I mean, honestly, people talk, right? It was pretty remarkable what was happening. I mean, he'd been healing all kinds of folks. So the word's out. So Jesus starts on a mountain in prayer, gathered his friends on the way down, and begins his mission. Henry Nouwen writes, "We tend to do things the other way around. If we have a problem or a task, we go it alone and solve it ourselves. If that fails, we call a few friends. And when all else fails, what do? We pray." What was that, Jeremy? Read the instructions, yes. Right. Have we finished now? Reading the instructions. The instructions, that's cute. But that's how Jesus works. He begins in prayer, he gathers his friends, and then he goes to work. And Luke writes, "All in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and he healed all of them." Now, not only were people physically healed, but there's also unclean spirits, which, you know, in those days would have been people who were mentally challenged, who were having difficulties in that area. And I love how Jesus doesn't try and get away from the crowd. What happened last week? He got into a boat, right? And he had a floating pulpit. And unlike last week, he stands right in the middle of the crowd, sending out healing power to everyone in reach. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're a Jew. He doesn't care if you're a Roman. He doesn't care if you're a Gentile. He doesn't care if you're from Afghanistan. He doesn't care if you're Syrian. He doesn't care if you're Canadian. He heals all of them while standing on level ground. He levels the playing field. He stood, and there's this little word, with them. Now, with is a very short word. Yet in this context, it is powerful because it covers the possibility that those who are suffering or in need or at a disadvantage will not be excluded from healing. It also holds the potential that those who find themselves on their own will not be left alone in the dark. The phrase "the level place" has an Old Testament connection. In the writings of the prophets, level place often referred to places of corpses, of disgrace, of idolatry, of suffering, of misery, of hunger and mourning. Yet, the prophets looked forward in hope to a time when God would renew the level places and reveal God's mercy and grace. So Jesus stands with us in our broken, level world and teaches the way of renewal and hope through the kingdom of God. Jesus stands with us in our broken, level places. He came down to be with those who need him. And Jesus stands on our level, blessing and healing. And when he blesses the poor and the hungry, the sorrowful and the ridiculed, he's not saying that we should aspire to poverty, hunger, sorrow, or verbal abuse. He's saying that God is with us even when the worst has left us behind. See, God loves us even when others hate us. And our blessings come when we seek God, when we hunger for God, and we love the people that God loves, for we will never, ever look into the face of someone that God doesn't love. Yeah, the good, the bad, and the ugly. When Jesus then announces woe, which means great sorrow or distress, to those who eat well, enjoy fame and admiration from others, he's not saying that wealth, good food, and popularity are bad things. He's saying don't get hooked on them. For when we focus on satisfying our own appetites, our own sense of deserving and entitlements and privilege, then we have turned our attention away from God to our self-centeredness, and thus begins spiritual downfall. When we desire God, when we acknowledge and affirm that every human being, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, gay and straight, brown, yellow, black, and pink are worthy of God's love and care. That is an amen. When we are hungry for God, we want the things that God wants. And throughout this sermon, Jesus is stating how things are now and how things will be in the kingdom. Those things we value in the world have no value in God's economy. In God's economy, God's kingdom, the only thing that matters is grace. That's it. God's kingdom levels the playing field for everyone, and sometimes we are not comfortable with that. And the view is often much better above than from below. Carolyn Lewis writes, "We can't help but realize that the view looks down. Down on those who haven't made it to our level. Down on those we really don't want on our level. Down on those we have deemed unworthy of our level, but we don't like it much being at the bottom of the heap, looking up either, which leaves us on the level plane, and even that makes us uncomfortable, for the level plane reminds us of how much we don't feel worthy to be on the same plane as others. That as soon as we start to see ourselves on the same level, we start to wonder, where should we gaze up? Should we look down? We start to wonder why it is so hard to look sideways, to look around us, beside us, in front of us. And on that level plane, Jesus looks us straight in the eye. He makes eye contact. The triune God sees us and knows us, the real person, not the face we present to the world so that others will think well of us, but who we are. I read the other day from the Talmud, we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. We are never alone on level places. And when it's hard to see, when things in life are going awry, when suffering and hardship happens, which it will on the level places in our life, Jesus is standing with us just like that day. There is nothing we can do about that. There is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us less. God's blessing is for everyone, whether from Jerusalem or Powell River. God's blessing is available to all. And Christ pronounces God's blessing on level places in our lives. And to be blessed does not mean the absence of struggle. To be blessed is to live within that struggle, aware that it is temporary. And Jesus stands on a level plane with us, showing God's kingdom in the midst of the chaos. Yeah, even today. In the middle of our need to be made whole. We are people of level places. We are with those that gathered that day because we too are poor and broken. We too need forgiveness and healing from the youngest of us to the oldest. For it is only on those level places can we know for certain that God cares about our sorrows, our fears, our anxieties, and our joys. We are not people who live on lofty heights of judgment, but rather on the plains of equality and love alongside our God who gathers us there. And the words of Jesus, then and now, are the life-giving, for they open the riches of the kingdom of heaven for all humankind. No one is excluded. No one is denied. And no one is left out on the level plains. Let us pray. God of love and trust, bless our hopes, our risk-taking, and our commitment. Make us sensitive and forgiving, and give us wisdom to allow each other freedom and space. Let our love be for the world around us as well as for each other. And keep us always centered on you. In the name of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sanctifier. Amen.